welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. Clicker. So we're going to go ahead and start this morning with a passage in Psalms. It's Psalm 42:5. And I love this psalm. I think it's very honest, very candid. And the psalmist is saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, and from Hill Mizar. And so here you've got the psalmist, and he's just saying, man, something's wrong. You know, you could say, I'm not feeling it. There's my hope, you know. He's talking to his soul. Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. In other words, he's talking to his soul. He's talking to his feelings, his emotions. And he's saying, hope in God, hope in God. In other words, he's really in a place where he doesn't have hope, and he wants to get that hope back, you know. And he's saying, you know, oh my God, my soul is cast down. So he starts praying about it, and he says, I'm going to remember you. In other words, he's going to stir up past things that God has done in his life to get his hope stirred back up again. And again, what I love so much about this psalm is just the candidness of it, you know, where you're talking to yourself, and you're really wanting to say, you know, come on, get back up. It's okay. It's all right. So we see kind of a situation where the psalmist's hope is just not there. It's not intact, and he's wanting to get his hope back. He's wanting to get his hope restored back again. You know, when I think of, you know, the word restore, restoration, a lot of times nowadays I think of the shows that have really been popularized probably in the last 10 years, where you've got the kind of the fixer-upper situation or the house, and they'll go in, and then they'll kind of put the people away, the owners, for a while, and they'll get it all fixed up, jazzed up, and then the owners will come back, and then you have the big reveal, you know, where you can kind of see it all sparkly, nice, and new, and it's like, wow. And, you know, Julie really got into those, and she kind of got me into them too, and it's just amazing, all the different little versions of that. You know, I kind of like to just kind of fast forward more to the end and instead of all the in-between stuff. But, you know, it's one of those things where you know it's going to be amazing. You know it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be probably better than it was before. And so there's this restoration process. And I think it's been, you know, very, very popularized. We actually got gifted to us a little pop-up several weeks ago, and a little pop-up trailer type thing, and Julie and Whitney kind of did their wonder and just really jazzed that up and made it pretty and beautiful, kind of brought it up to scale and speed, and was really cool to see that. But as we look at just kind of thinking about hope, you see this guy had hope, he kind of lost it, and he wants to get his hope back again. And when I see that, I think of things like that, restoration. Taking something you had, you lost, and you want to get it back again. Several weeks ago, we did a message called God is Smarter Than Me. And it was really kind of referencing the classic 1968 movie, 2001, A Space Odyssey. And we kind of wove that movie in there a little bit into the concept of God is Smarter Than Me and interacting with higher intelligence. There was another amazing classic movie back in 1968, too. And also, of course, the 50-year anniversary of It. And that movie kind of sparked a little bit of where I want to go this morning. And that movie in 1968 was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. If you don't remember the movie, you probably remember the song, at least, you know. And Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is a great little story. In fact, it's really one of the greatest restoration stories there is. The movie starts out and the screen's black, and all of a sudden you're hearing engines racing and revving. And guy says go, and you see Chitty in the glory years, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, this I think is car number 3, just gleaming, and he's running the Grand Prix, all over, and this is like the early 1900s. And you see him winning the race and being celebrated, and he's winning race after race after race. I mean, he's life couldn't get any better than this for Chitty. And all of a sudden, during one of the races, it just so happened a little puppy dog ran out on the track. And instinctively, the little puppy dog's owner, a little girl, just ran in after her dog. And she got her dog and she picked him up in the middle of the track. And Chitty was driving right at her. And so the owner had to swerve to miss the girl and the dog and swerve right through like a gate, a fence type of a thing. Drove right through a fence, caught on fire, and went into this ravine. And it was just burning up. And you see him burning, just damaged. And then it kind of fast forwards to the next scene where you see Chitty in a junkyard. And I thought, behind every hope story, hope is a lot like this. Because really, behind damaged hope, there's a good story. There's the happy days. There's the glory years where you enjoy life, where you enjoy things and life is easy and happy-go-lucky and even celebrated. But then something happens. Whether it's disappointment or failure or tragedy or misunderstanding or different things like that. It's like that little girl with her dog, and you're swerving, and all of a sudden this glorious time with God catches fire, and it's like you're in a ravine. And this morning, I want to talk about, I'm going to get into here, restored hope. All right? We're going to kind of reference that movie a little bit this morning as we go through. But in the same way things can be restored, hope can be restored. That's what the psalmist was saying. Lord, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Well, he must have been in a place where he wasn't downcast before. He's saying, put your hope in God. Start hoping again. We can do this. We can get through this. The psalmist is talking to himself. He wants his hope restored the same way you would restore a car or restore a house or restore something. And we're going to look at this morning, restored hope. All right. So this is not a how-to message this morning. This is a little different. This isn't just like you do this and do this. It's a very different kind of a message this morning as far as restoring hope or anything that I've ever done before. This is not a how-to message. This is going to be more of a can-do message. Because when you're in that place, as far as needing to restore hope, it can be confusing, it can be dark, and there's some things you just need to know in a general sense. And this is just kind of a message to take a little inventory, all right? This is not going to get in the weeds of a lot of specific stuff. It's going to be more of a 30,000-foot flyover, but we need those. We need to kind of get big picture stuff. And so that's what we're going to be doing this morning as we look at restored hope. First thing in terms of restored hope, inspiration is something people can do for you. There's things that people can do for you, and there's things that people can't do for you. But there are some things that people can do for you that can help us in terms of restoring hope. Inspiration is one of those things. I love this scripture, and this is what we're commanded to do. Love rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. people we love, and I'll kind of talk on both sides of this because we've all experienced this on one side or the other. We've been in that place where we've needed our hope restored, and we've been on the other side where we've been trying to encourage people in getting their hope restored. We've all been on both sides of this deal. As far as being on the this side of it, you know, there are things that people can do for me. They can encourage me. They can speak good things into me. But you know, when you're in that place of pain, and again, if Chitty was a picture of damaged, burnt out hope, you know, the happy days almost seem like a mockery because they just seem like an impossibility. It's just like almost a tease. Don't even go there. You know, it's like my ability to hope is gone. It's broken. But in the movie, this is kind of a cool thing. I said, you got Chitty, he's in the junkyard. But all of a sudden, as you see Chitty in the junkyard, it pans up and you see these two kids in Chitty and they're playing race car. Yeah, and they're just excited and they're happy. These two little kids, you know, they love this car. They're just seeing this car for the way this car was. They're not seeing an old broken down car. They're seeing a race car and they're having fun and they love this race car. This is what people can do for you. They can see you. They can, when you forget your identity, they remember, they help you remember your identity. These kids were in Chitty and they were having fun. They were enjoying Chitty. Now, I think Chitty is, I mean, I'm personifying Chitty, and I will personify Chitty in this sermon for the sake of, you know, what I'm trying to communicate. But, you know, Chitty could be just sitting down there, and he's just going to be going, man, dumb kid and her dog, little kids, ugh. Man, where would I be if that little dog hadn't run out in the road? I'd be winning my 10th Grand Prix right now. But no, ironically, it's little kids who are in Chitty, who are summonsing Chitty, who Chitty was. And I mean with their passion, a little brother and sister. And they're just playing race car in Chitty and just loving Chitty and being kind and tender. And all of a sudden, and they're in a junkyard, of course, another guy comes along and he asks the salesman, you know, what do you want for that old piece of junk? And guy said, oh, you know, they start negotiating, they start haggling, and finally they agree on a price. And the kids were all upset, said, you can't sell Chitty to that man. And he said, well, I'm afraid I already have. And so they went over to that man and said, what are you going to do with, you know, Chitty? I mean, the car wasn't named Chitty specifically, but, you know, what are you going to do with Chitty? And the guy said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to squish it down, and then I'm going to throw it in a fiery furnace and melt it down and get its metal. And they were just horrified. You can't do that. No way. And so all of a sudden, you've got these two forces contending for Chitty. You got this brother and this sister who see Chitty for who he was and who he can be and who he's going to steal. And then you've got this other force that just wants to absolutely melt down and destroy this car. There's opposing. They're fighting. And it was interesting. The kids made an agreement with the man and said, look, if we can raise the money that he would pay you before he pays you, can we have the car? We're going to go to our father because we know that our father could give us the money that we need to get Chitty. And so they go tearing off for the father. Now, this is a picture of what people can do for you. They can contend for you. They can love you. They can encourage you. They can go to the Father on your behalf. They can pray to the Father on your behalf. They can lift you up. This is stuff people can do for you. It's powerful. Now, as Chitty's sitting there, this proverb has always fascinated me. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Interesting. When you're in that place, in that junkyard place, there is a pain that you know and nobody else knows. And no matter how many well-meaning people may come by and try to encourage you, there's no way they can totally know what you're feeling. I've been there before, I've been there. There's no way they can totally know what you're feeling. There is a pain of that that brings a loneliness. And no stranger can share its joy. You can't totally fully know. You can't totally know and fully realize and get it. People can't totally realize and get it. Again, this is not a message of the how-to. This is not a message of how-tos. This is a message of can-do. Can-do. Not how-to, but can-do. There's some things people can do. There's some things people can't do. They can't totally know your heart. They can't totally know that pain, that junkyard feel that you're in. They just can't do it. They can do some things. They can encourage. They can go to the Father. They can petition the Father for you. But there's no way a human being can totally get in your heart and know exactly what you're feeling. And that's where this is such a beautiful thing. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. There are things that people can't do, we can't do just because we're human, we're not God. And as I'm dealing with some things, I got to realize, okay, even though people don't totally get me, don't totally understand, don't hurt me, I can't expect them to. But there is someone who does. You can kind of know generally what people are going through, but to really know the hurt and the pain and the things, you can't know perfectly. God does, though. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit knows perfectly. He knows completely. I didn't put it up here, but Hebrews 4 says, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. He sees everything perfectly and clearly. In other words, there's one who can perfectly empathize with your frustrations. One who can perfectly empathize, who became in all points like us, that he could be a merciful and empathetic, sympathetic high priest, Jesus. So we're talking about restored hope. We got to realize that people are limited in terms of what they can do. You know, those children, what I love about this verse, the children knew they could not restore Chitty, but they knew their father could restore Chitty. Let me say this from the side of being on the other side of it. If you're trying to encourage somebody, realize what you can do and realize what you can't do. And don't try to do what only God can do. You encourage, you be kind, you listen on the inside, you pray, but don't try to be God. Don't try to do what only he can do. You just do your part. I love what Jesus said. He said, I just say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see him do. Yeah, we'd love to just fix everything. Well, you're only a person. And you can do what you can do. Now, which leads us up to the next thing. Restoration is something God can do. God can restore stuff. Let's look at a couple scriptures. This is a can-do message. What can God do? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, this is God coming on the scene. This is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me because he's anointed me. This is where the anointing can do things that human reasoning and human emotion and human comfort and even human encouragement can't do. There's a power of God that can do what people can't do. And as you're dealing with restoring hope, you're seeing what people can do. But now what can God do that people can't do? He can do this. He can also do this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Again, these are just some things that God can do. He can restore a soul. He can put Humpty back together again. He's the only one who can do that. People can point us to the Father. They can pray and they can intercede. In the movie, the Father does provide the money. The kids do get Chitty in his workshop. And you kind of see the picture of him kind of rolling Chitty into the workshop, and everybody's involved and everybody's happy because here comes Chitty going into the Father's workshop. But here's the deal. Once Chitty is in there, the door closes and everybody else has to go away. Get out of here. I think the guy's name is Caractacus Potts, kind of a funny, quirky name. Caractacus Potts is the inventor, who's the father in our analogy, who's the kid's father. He's working in the wood shop with Chitty, and it's just those two. You can hear clanging, you can hear stuff, you can hear music, and here's the thing. Things are going on, but the kids can't see it. It's none of their business, to be quite honest. This is just between the father and Chitty at this point. And the interesting thing, too, is you kind of hear this ding, ding, ding. It's like musically representing the passage of time. And you see these kids, and they're just antsy. When is he going to be done? You know, the grandpa's there. When is he going to be done? Oh, it's going to be a while before he's done. There's time. And I'll say that on this side, too. If you're on the side of the kids, the comforter, you got to realize there's only things you can do. You got them to the Father. That's good. But it takes time sometimes. Those kids had to be patient. If you're on this side of it, you need to be patient. Because let me tell you something. If you're not in the wood shop now, you've been in the wood shop, and there's a good chance life might throw something at you again, and you're going to get shaken, and you're going to be in the wood shop. You need to be patient with people as the Father is working through things, as the Father is restoring. There's this amazing restoring work going on, but it's so blind. We never get to see it. We'll see the Father come out, and he'll grab a piece of metal, and he'll go back in. It's just kind of like, I wonder what's going on in there. But there's a sweet privacy that's happening, that's going on in there, that's going on in that place. In the woodshop. Here's another scripture of what the Father can do in that woodshop. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to that woodshop, that throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, a safe place. It was a place that Chitty could go and Chitty could be and could take time and heal up with not just there's time. There's time. Because I'll tell you, when Chitty comes out, it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. There was a song that was written. I feel like this song was written. This is an old Al Denson song, but it's one that has just stuck with me through the years. I don't know if it was the late 80s, early 90s. But it goes like this. The name of it is called Peace Be Still. Be not dismayed, though it seems like the storms will never end. Be not afraid when it seems like you haven't got a friend. The storms are raging. You don't have to run and hide. The Lord is faithful to heal the lonely heart inside. Peace be still. The Father loves you. Peace be still. The Father loves you. No matter where you are or where you've been, I'm sure he wants you to know he won't let go. Be not dismayed, though it seems like the hurt will never end. Be still and know the Father will never let you go. The pain is raging, but you don't have to run and hide. The Lord is faithful to heal the hurting heart inside. Peace, be still. The Father loves you. Peace, be still. The Father loves you. No matter where you are or where you've been, He wants you to know He won't let go. No matter where you are or where you've been, He wants you to know He won't let go. Jesus won't let go. It's in that atmosphere, in that place, the Father can begin to do work. Healing a broken heart, that's nothing that we could even comprehend. We don't have the tools to do that. The Father does. We're the kids. We can point people to the Father, that there's a safe place, that there's a place that they can go. This was Jesus' admonition. He just said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You know, when your hope is shaken, again, there's only so much we as human beings, as people can do to comfort. But where people may have even blown it, trying to comfort or encourage you, He is gentle and lowly in heart. He gets it. He gets it completely. And there is miraculous understanding, miraculous healing. And you will find rest for your souls. He doesn't even say, He does not say answers to your questions. That's different. You'll find rest for your souls. That's a peace that passes your understanding. I don't have to have the answer to have peace. I cannot have the answer. I cannot know why and still have rest, still have peace. This is what the Father does in the workshop. This is the stuff that's going on that nobody can see, just you and the Father. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. This is stuff, again, the Father can do. It's not stuff that we can do in terms of restoring hope. That's the only thing that He can do. Now, leads us to the final point here of our kind of more of our can-do flyover. We've looked at what people can do. We've looked at what God can do. And finally, decision is something only you can do. We're talking about restoring hope. There comes a time, too, where you make decisions. There's a decision. And this is the cool thing about God. You know, even your salvation, we say, how many decisions for Christ? But decisions, 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 decisions. And we want decisions, decisions, decisions. But there's something about even a decision for salvation. Before a decision is made for salvation, there's a drawing of the Holy Spirit. There's a wooing. There's a backstory. You know, you find out how people come to Christ, you could find out there's some hard heads out here among us that might have taken a few times. We might have stepped on some people in the process. We might have done some things. But God stays with you, and He works with you, and He's preparing your heart to bring you to a place of decision. Decision. That's something friends can't do for you. That's something God can't do for you. That's something only you can do when it comes to restored hope. There's a decision. There's a decision to go into that wood shop. And it's not as easy as you might think. We're talking about broken hope. We're talking about damaged hope that needs to be restored. Because why is it hard? Because there were glory years before the damage. There were good times. And in some ways, it's almost afraid to go back to the good times as a setup for another dog and her little girl to step in my way again and have to go through all this all over again. There can be a holding back. Do I want restored hope? Do I want this? And it's a decision that only you can make. There's a wrestling. But as that wrestling is going on, like we said, there's a wooing that draws you back. Yes, because what happens ultimately? I like to say you come to the Peter conclusion. There was one day when Jesus and the disciples were out there. They were ministering. I mean, they had huge crowds. Jesus just fed thousands of people, and they were all clinging to every word He said. And He said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me. They all left. The disciples stayed there, and Jesus looked at them. Do you guys want to go too? And Peter said, where else would we go? Peter, could you stand up and give an exposition on what Jesus meant by what he said? No, I couldn't. Couldn't explain it. All I know is one thing. I've been around you enough to know that you have the words of eternal life. Even though I can't explain what you meant by eating bodies and drinking blood, I know you're right. Where else would I go? Where else would I go? I'm going to stay with you even when I don't know, even when I don't get it. That's like a Peter conclusion. Peter, sometimes he stuck his foot in his mouth and sometimes he really got it right. That was one of the times he really got it right. Where else would we go? And as you walk this walk for a while, you realize, yeah, something happened. God looks guilty here. I don't understand, but where else would I go? Okay, Father. That's kind of the woodshop drawing. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going back into that woodshop. And this is really two things that you're going to do that you can decide that gets you back in that sweet spot of the woodshop. Number one, say this, Isaiah 61 through 2, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all people, world we live in. But the Lord shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you. In other words, all the same stuff that keeps everybody else down, all the heartbreaks, all the misunderstanding, all the hurt and the offense and everybody else's story that keeps them down, that you're experiencing too, isn't going to keep you down anymore. There's going to be a rising and a shining, and you realize that whatever you're going through, you know one thing, it is common to man. I can't share in the joy of your bitterness on a personal level. I can't get into all the nuances and the hurts and different things like that. But I know that there is a glory of the Lord, whatever that story is, that has risen upon you that's going to make you stand up and shine. And to get up, get up. And you hear that, that's the exhortation of the Lord saying, get up, arise. It's like a bidding. Let's come back. What are you doing? There's a decision to trust God again. And again, what that means specifically, God will show you by the Holy Spirit. I'm just a preacher saying on a general thing, trust God again. Trust God again. Here's the great promise of Isaiah. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace whose mind, both in its inclination and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, hopes confidently in you. The message, people with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole. There's a decision to go positive again. And when I say positive, I don't mean positive for positive sake. I mean I am going to openly, vulnerably trust my heart in God again. I'm trusting in the Father, in his workshop, to begin his work. And I don't care if people are banging on that door. Are you done in there yet? I'm going to block out their voices. You know, people, bless them. There's people, things people can do, things people can't do. We love people. But ultimately, my restored hope isn't based on people getting their part right. I'm glad for the part that they play to encourage me. But they don't have to get their part right for my hope to be restored. I can go back in that woodshop and say, okay, Father, I'm trusting you again. Here we go. I'm getting my hopes up again because I trust in you. I don't understand it, but who else has the words of eternal life? There are no other answers out there. You're the right answer. And I know this situation. I know this pain, personal failure, betrayal, frustration, whatever it might be. I know one thing, Father God. You're good and you love me. And you're for me. And it looks like you're the bad guy, but by faith, I don't believe you are the bad guy, and I'm opening my heart up again to trust you again. Father, help me to trust you again and to just walk with you again and to set my mind on you and to help by the Holy Spirit to keep my mind on you. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. But before you can do anything, it's like, this is the only thing that you can do. Nobody can do this for you. It's where on the inside say, Lord, you're not guilty in this. I'm trusting you again. I'm going for it again. And let me say this. You say that, but there is an enemy. And he's not only accuser of the brethren, he's an accuser of God. And he will accuse God to your mind. He's been doing it since the garden. And the cool thing of it is when you just begin to by faith, say, I'm trusting you again, God. I'm trusting you again, God. You can see through it in ways when you're not trusting in him. When your gaze is down and everything is dark, everything is believable. That is dark. When you begin to, by faith, trust him again, you'll see through things. You'll discern stuff. Wow, that is so compelling. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. No, it's not God. You know, there was people who trailed after the apostles and said, these men are servants of the Most High God sent to show us the way of salvation. That's really true. 100% accurate. Wrong spirit. They didn't put up with it. Cast it out. The disciples were going ahead of Jesus to prepare a place. They rejected him. The disciples turned to Jesus and said, do you want us to call down fire on these people? How dare them? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. They said, do you want us to call fire down on them like Elijah did? These were word scriptural people. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Strife, envy, bitterness, it's not from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. And when you begin to change that gaze by faith above, you realize it's not God. It's not God. It's not God. It's not God. And this is where healing begins. He'll restore you. And the cool thing of it is when you've been in a place, you got a head start on stuff because you're going back to a place you've been before. And pretty soon you're going to recognize stuff where you've been before. Hey, I know this place. I know this place of peace. I know this place of trust. He'll guide you back into what you're already familiar with. Days. And instead of those glory days being a mockery of your pain, they become a guide mark and guideposts as he's restoring you again and encouraging you again. There's a decision to trust God. Here's the other big decision. And this is what we're going to really end with. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Wow. Put on. It's not on yet. Put it on. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. The first decision has to be made first. You'll notice, I notice this about me. When I'm playing hard to get with God because I don't understand something and I'm frustrated, forgiveness is gone. It's shut down. It's not even conscious. There's just no forgiveness there. I mean, it's a forgiveness even as. And if I'm shaking my hope in God, I mean, the forgiveness just ain't happening. There's no basis for it really because I'm mad at God. But one of the things that happens when you begin to put that decision, these are just two decisions. The decision to trust God again is the Holy Spirit will just begin to say, great, thank you for trusting me again. And I've had the Lord just say it to me, this just kind of in a way that I knew that I had ears to hear, okay? He just said, Ed, what about forgiveness? What about forgiveness? Again, that's another thing that can always be a mockery. Forgive. When you realize, as you're walking with God again, forgiveness is the other big decision that is a huge part of that healing and that restoration. It's like the one thing that he'll show you. Because forgiveness isn't like duty. I got to forgive. Forgiveness is a weapon. Because you realize when you're in that place, there are accusations and hatred and that pain that no one else can share. Its joy is linked to the hurt. It's linked to things. It's linked to people. How do I reconcile? I feel this. How can I reconcile that? The same way God reconciled you to him. Forgiveness is what creates the reconciliation. God's love and grace is what makes things balance. Is it my works? Did I do a bunch of good stuff to make up for it? Nah. There was a price that was paid. This is how reconciliation, this is how I have peace with God, who's through forgiveness. I got this situation, I got that situation. The same way you're going to balance the books with people is the same way God balanced the books with you. And when those thoughts of accusation come against your head, that was horrible, that was bad, that was really, wasn't that really bad? Yes, it was really bad. Yes, it was really helpful. It shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have been said. It shouldn't have been said. What's the answer? Forgiveness is the answer. I forgive even as Christ forgave me. What about forgiveness? There is healing in forgiveness. Healing answers the warfare against the mind. What about that? You say, yes, I forgive it, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. That's the answer. That's what diffuses that fiery dart. The same grace that forgave me, I forgive. It's reconciled. It balances. It makes sense now. Not because I've worked through it in some cerebral way, but because I have forgiven the offense of it. That's all. I'm not working through Satan's confusion. I'm just forgiving, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. And the healing of the people and the offenses and the bitternesses that no one can share, those intimate places, the healing is, it's in forgiveness. It's an on-purpose forgiveness. And again, think of the workshop. Think of the clock ticking. You see, the people on the outside, they want to see you restored quickly. And you just want to back off. Give me some time with God. Let me have some time to get healed up here, okay? But then you on the inside, I want to be healed, okay? I want to forgive him and never have another painful thought against him. I want to be heard up. I want it to be quick. And God is saying, hey, it will be. You're going to be renewed in your mind. And when that thought keeps coming back, you're going to say, yes, and I've forgiven, and I've forgiven, I've forgiven, I've forgiven. I thank you, Lord. Sometimes this is where you can just thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I forgive so-and-so. If you got to speak it out loud, whatever you need to do, that's where there's going to be a transforming by the renewing of your mind. And your mind is going to get strong in the area of forgiveness. And that thing that used to be a stronghold against you is going to be a stronghold of forgiveness and grace of God in your life. And you can tell there's a health in your mind. The Bible says the spirit that we have in us is a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You can tell when that spirit rises up in power. You can tell when that spirit rises up in love. And you can tell when that spirit rises up in a soundness of mind. I'm thinking clearly. Somebody said that, and I would have just went ballistic. I'm not going ballistic. I'm just listening and hearing, listening for the next thing they said. My mind is sound, solid. The Spirit of God gives you the ability to do that. He does a work. He does that work in your heart. And when you begin to forgive, you got an answer for the accusations. You got an answer for your own bitterness. You got an answer for your own pain. I have forgiven. And it's not like, I need a feeling of forgiveness. I'm just forgiving by faith. In the same way I went to the Father by faith, I'm going to trust you again. I'm going to forgive by faith. And as you work with God in his word, man, he'll work with you. This is why the word of God is so powerful. You can't make yourself think right. Have you discovered that yet? You'll go crazy trying to make yourself. You think on these words are right. It's going back to the word that changes the trajectory of your thoughts to think right again. It's the word that gets you off the merry-go-round of self-seeking and self. It's the word that does that. And that word is forgiveness. It's a powerful thing. What happens when you're restored? I love this psalm. When the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dreamed. It seemed so unreal. Then were our mouths filled with laughter, our tongues with singing. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Delivered from the captivity. It's like, wow, not only am I back to that place, I'm beyond that place. And when Chitty came out of that workshop, gleaming, beautiful, bright, if you've watched the movie, you can see that Chitty could do beyond what an average race car could do. Chitty was like a boat in the water. It could fly in the air. It was exceedingly abundantly above all the car could possibly ask or think. God didn't just restore him back to his former glory. He restored him way, way, way back. And there was this kind of this dream fantasy sequence, and kind of the amazing thing in the story is that there's this little fantasy land where all the kids, it's outlawed to have children, and they're all in this dungeon. And Chitty's ultimate goal, and you think about this whole thing with Chitty, the whole bitterness thing, the whole junkyard thing started with a small child destroying the racing career. In Chitty, in its restored glory, his goal is to go back in this dungeon and release all these small children from their imprisonment. You know, it's a story of God doesn't only restore you, but a lot of times he can take the painful mess and the thing that you came through, and he'll use you as an authority in that area to help other people get set free and to see people get restored in their hope. So what are we talking about this morning? Restored hope? Inspiration. It's something people can do. They can cause you to remember the good times. They can see you. They can remind you and see you the way you've been in your glory, tearing it up, winning those Grand Prix, and they can bring you to the Father in prayer. They can pray on your behalf. They can pray that drawing that the Holy Spirit just, oh, Lord, continue to draw and work. Convince them to make that decision to go back into the workshop. Restoration is something God can do. Only God can do. God can heal your broken heart. The Father can heal your broken heart, and the Father loves you. Love that song. Peace be still. It is an atmosphere where the Father is working it through in your heart. And finally, decision is something only you can do. Decide to hope in God again. Decide to forgive people again. There's no new revelation here. There's no new teaching here. It's just going again to that place in your heart where there is restored hope. And yeah, it takes a little while. And yeah, it's you and the Father. And yeah, those homeowners have to go away for a few weeks or a few months or something. But when they come back, there's a big reveal. And I'm telling you what, when you take these little steps and you just do what you know to do, there is a big reveal coming. A restore, not to just the former glory, but exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, to fulfill every good work the Father has ordained you to walk in. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that there is restored hope in you. Praise God. We can store natural, physical stuff, but you can restore and you can heal broken hearts. Father, I just pray this morning right now in the name of Jesus that you will just open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to that precious drawing of your Holy Spirit. And if your heart can agree with these words, just go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you. You know me completely. A stranger can't share in my bitterness. Only you can. You know me completely. And you love me completely. I thank you, Father, for people in my life who encourage me, who help me to see the real me, to see my identity, who pray for me. I thank you for their precious lives. Use me in that way too, to encourage people, to pray for people. But Heavenly Father, you're the healer. of the broken heart. I decide this morning, I trust you. I put my hope in you again. You can do what people can't do. You're meek and lowly in heart. You're a safe place. Thank you for loving me. I will be patient. I also choose to forgive again, to realize there is reconciliation for these hurtful thoughts. The reconciliation is grace. It's forgiveness. I see it again, and I forgive, even as you've forgiven me. Thank you, Father, for restoring my hope, restoring my soul, and doing everything you want to do through this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm grateful, thankful, you know, as I've walked through, and I'll just say this, I've been in that wood shop many times, and I thank God for the people that have come around me and have helped me, and I'll tell you what, let me just say this, I don't really say this as a bad confession, but it's a very good chance in the life and stuff we're going through, my faith could very well experience some shakenness that I'm going to have to go back to that wood shop again and get strengthened again. It's not like a one-time thing. You're going to, like, you know, you may be strong now, and that's great, and that's awesome, but life could throw something at you, too, little dog in the road or whatever it is, and to realize in the future, whatever life throws at me, if something happens, there is a wood shop that's my Heavenly Father, and He loves me. So this message isn't just for past, it's for all of us for all time to remember. It's not a how-to, it's a can-do. There's things that people can do, there's things God can do, and there's things only you can do. Receive the encouragement and the prayers of people. Receive the healing power of God. Trust Him again. Forgive people again. And restore and enjoy that good life in God. Amen. Praise God.